Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church. We are a congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, located in Green, Iowa. Today is Sunday, January 9th, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, and I was off last weekend, so this is my opportunity to say to you, Happy New Year! I'm glad God has brought you here to watch this message today. Before I get into today's scripture reading and sermon, I have an invitation to share with you. Hopefully you know that this year, 2022, is our congregation's 150th anniversary year. And to start the year, I'm going to be leading a Bible study on our namesake, Peter. So we'll be reading this book, Simon Peter, Flawed but Faithful Disciple. It's by Pastor Adam Hamilton. And we'll be meeting at 8 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. And since you're watching this online or listening on the podcast, you are exactly who this invitation is for. No need to come into the building. Join us at 8 p.m. only online on Wednesday evenings. If you are interested or have any questions, we'll be using Zoom, but let me know as soon as possible if you're interested so I can make sure we have a book for you. So Zoom Bible study, 8 p.m. Wednesday evenings. Let me know if you're interested. Also, obviously, it's a new year. And January tends to be one of the slowest months for donations at our church. So if you are able to give an offering this month, know that it's greatly appreciated. You can give online by going to our website, www.stpetergreen.com/giving, or find our congregation on your phone in the Vanco Giving app. Thank you for supporting our ministry together. I have two readings to share with you today. First, from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, obviously, as I said, it's a new year, but January 9th, we're more than a week into the new year, and I wonder, did you have a good holiday week? I hope you did something special, because this was a pretty festive week, and I don't mean back in December, I mean right now, the week that we just had in January. Christmas just ended on Wednesday, and then Thursday was the holiday of Epiphany, so you must have done something fun to celebrate, right? Did you have a good Epiphany party? Maybe not this week? Well, we all know that there are 12 days of Christmas, but by about, I don't know, the third or the fourth day, I think most people have generally moved on. Even the religious Christmas radio station Kristen and I have been listening to went back to regular programming pretty much right away. I think it was right away on December 26. And there's parts of the world where Epiphany, January 6, is a public holiday, not in our culture. So maybe you didn't celebrate it. And if so, I'll remind you today about the point of the Epiphany. The point of the Epiphany holiday is to mark the arrival of the Magi, the wise men, those travelers from the East who brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to honor Jesus. So if you have a nativity set at home and you haven't packed it away yet, now is the time. Get out those three kings, get them all the way there into the scene. But more than just marking the Magi's arrival, and maybe you've already put away your nativity set, that's okay. More than just marking the Magi's arrival, Epiphany is about recognizing who Jesus is, both as a holiday and as a season, these next 6 or so weeks following the Epiphany. The word Epiphany means a moment in which you suddenly see or understand something in a new or very clear way. A moment when you understand something. If you're a confirmation student watching this or listening, doing a worship note, technically the day in the church year is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, and we'll get to that story. But you can also just write Epiphany if you want to. The season of Epiphany is about that idea of learning something, suddenly seeing, understanding, having a eureka moment. It's about Jesus' identity. So as Luke tells the story of Jesus, we know from the beginning as the readers who Jesus is going to be. The angels have told Mary before he was conceived. When he was born, angels appeared to the shepherds to tell them who this newborn child was. Matthew's account tells us about the Magi, these wise foreigners traveling from the east, following cosmic signs to worship this newborn king. John describes him as the Word of God made flesh, God's light entering the world. We know who Jesus is. 2 weeks ago in Luke, we got that lovely little story. I know I didn't have a video about it and probably weren't here to hear it. We didn't have very many people the day after Christmas. But we got this lovely little story of the 12-year-old Jesus learning in the temple in his father's house about his father's business. It's a glimpse of who this boy Jesus is growing up to be, who he truly is, God's son. And then, right after that story, Luke jumps ahead another 18 years or so to when Jesus is about 30 years old and tells the story I just read, the story we heard today, the story of Jesus' baptism. So by this point in the story, we know who Jesus is. The child born to Mary in Bethlehem is God with us, Emmanuel. This is the Messiah, the King, the one who will announce God's reign. Which is what makes the story of Jesus getting baptized by John so strange. Because John has been out in the wilderness calling people to repent. He's been bellowing about how y'all are a brood of vipers fleeing from the wrath to come. Who warned you to flee? Jesus doesn't need to repent. It makes no sense for Jesus to come out to the river and be baptized as a sign of repentance, to be reconciled with God. He is God. We know that if we've been reading the story so far. The crowds may not know that yet, but we, the audience, know it. In fact, in Matthew's telling of this story, John the Baptist knows it too. He actually argues with Jesus about who should be baptizing whom. So why does Jesus choose to come and be baptized? Why would he choose to go out there in the wilderness and associate himself with a brood of vipers? These are a bunch of sinners, tax collectors, Roman soldiers. Jesus hanging out in the temple, now that makes sense. Jesus mingling in this wilderness crowd is strange. And so I wonder, perhaps that's exactly the point. The first public act of Jesus' ministry, the first story we have of him as an adult, is him choosing to identify with the poor crowds, the people who are in need of repentance, the people who are in need of saving. Jesus comes and stands among the people who are most in need of God. As Debbie Thomas writes, "The Holy Child conceived of the Holy Spirit, celebrated by angels, worshipped by shepherds, feared by Herod, he stands in the same muddy water we stand in." The Messiah's first public act is a declaration of solidarity. God is one of us. I was listening to a podcast the other day that talked about the idea of selling by association. It's a sales technique where basically, if you go stand next to someone and ideally get your picture taken with them or appear in a video with them or on a podcast with them, if you go stand next to somebody your audience trusts, they will start to also trust you. People will associate you with them. Similar to the idea of endorsements, where some athlete you like starts talking about breakfast cereal. So you start to associate that cereal when you see it with that athlete, and your positive feelings about that athlete and your opinion of the cereal goes up. By that sort of logic, you'd think Jesus ought to be spending as much time with the high priests as he can, so people will start to associate him with the temple and religious leadership and being close to God, signing autographs outside the temple, something like that. But of course, Jesus does the opposite. Jesus chooses to come out into the wilderness, away from the city, away from the temple. He chooses to come associate himself with these crowds. And these are not the cream of the crop people who have it all put together. Jesus is aligning himself with the people who are desperate enough to go out into the wilderness and get dunked in a river, people who are looking for something, people who are searching, people who are wondering, questioning, people who are in need. This Epiphany moment does not involve miraculous stars or angel choirs. It involves ordinary things like water and people. This is a continuation of the Christmas story. Jesus is born a human and joins in the human experience. God comes to meet us where we are. God comes to speak our language, to live among us. One epiphany story is the human magi recognizing who the Bethlehem child truly is, coming to worship him as king. In this other Epiphany story, Jesus' baptism reveals he is on our side, that he is truly with us, with the desperate, with the people seeking God. Jesus says, we are in this together. That's part of what baptism is for us too, right? Baptism is the sacrament of welcome, joining us into God's family, into the body of Christ. And out there in the wilderness, in the waters of the Jordan River, there's another moment of epiphany. Another moment of revelation and realization. God cracks open the sky, the Holy Spirit enters in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven labels Jesus as God's Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. We don't get that voice at our baptisms in that way, at least not that I've ever experienced, but the message is still there. The message applies to us too. In the waters of baptism, God claims us and tells us who we are. Through ordinary, everyday water, God speaks and makes us children of God. Talking about baptism, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 that we have received a spirit of adoption. We have been made children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We are joined into God's family. You are not God incarnate. You are not Jesus. I hope that you're clear on that. But you have been adopted into the family of God through baptism. God calls you beloved. You are a child of God. As those verses in Isaiah say, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." Those words are first spoken to God's chosen people, Israel, but they apply to you and me as well. The Holy Spirit has joined us into God's chosen people, making us the body of Christ. So this Epiphany baptism story is not only about Jesus' identity, it's also about your identity. In your baptism, God has chosen you, adopted you, claimed you. God calls you beloved. Even with all our failings and our weaknesses and our sin and our selfishness and the things we hide from everybody else, the things we have to repent of that Jesus didn't have, God knows all that. And still, God calls you beloved. Happy Epiphany. Amen. Now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hope to see you here next week.